Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I want to welcome you all today to this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. The show is sponsored and produced jointly by Blue Ram Media Group and Private Officer International. As you've heard us say many, many times before, if you are a frequent listener of the radio show, a private security and law enforcement organization. We are member supported, but we're also supported through donations as well as those who market, advertise on our websites and radio shows. And really the support that we get from people oftentimes is overwhelming. Today's show, we have a lot to talk about, almost like always. Unfortunately, we do have a number of security officers that have been killed in the line of duty over the last week. As far as the number confirmed, we know of six security officers that were murdered, six security officers that died, six security officers who lost their lives in the line of duty. It's been violent. It's something that we say frequently on this program. We talk about how it is out there and what private officers are facing is exactly what law enforcement is facing. And yet, they don't get the same publicity or the same honor. And definitely not the same pay. And unfortunately, every week I have to say, this is only going to get worse. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the beginning. We have seen it increase year after year after year after year, even during the pandemic, when many businesses were shut down, we still had a high number of security officers murdered, many who were out there trying to make a living, support their family. Some of those murdered, it was all just because of a person not wearing a face mask, as was required by the company or by the health code. And unfortunately, no, I don't see it getting better. I hate to keep beating a, you know, dead horse, as I say, but the fact is, the more that law enforcement reduces their staff or are unable to hire an adequate number to protect their city, the more private security will be used. In the last 3 years, we've seen more public parks hire private security to patrol. We've seen more public city halls and courthouses and public buildings being protected by private security. And they have to respond to trespassers and vandalism and people that aren't supposed to be on the property and disorderly situations. And as apartments and condominium complexes and long-term living spaces continue to grow and get larger populations, many of those are also hiring security. And that means that security is being called for loud noises, parties, disturbances, fights, domestics, vandalisms, thefts, car break-ins, burglaries, and on and on and on. And they're the first responder. They're on the front line. And it's true. They are. Unfortunately, seldom recognized. When I come back from our first break, we'll go over the loss of lives during this past week that we're familiar with. All of them tragic. But I have to wonder if security companies did a better job at assessing who to put in a specific assignment, would it keep the security officer safer? Because in one of these deaths, it was a 78-year-old security officer murdered by an inmate who was being treated at a local hospital. Ponder that until we come back from the break. We also have a recent statement in the last few days from the Alexandria, Virginia police chief saying they can't do it any longer. They cannot provide the level of service that their city has been used to all these years. Alexandria is a wealthy area, and many people expect and demand instant response by law enforcement for anything petty or serious. They expect a body, a uniform, a patrol car. But the chief says no, not anymore. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we'll be right back. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code. 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt.
From coast to coast, cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
Do you know your ABCs? How about the ABCs of water safety? A is for active adult supervision. This means someone is always actively watching when a child is in the water. B is for multiple barriers. Your pool or spa should have multiple physical barriers at all times. C is for CPR classes. Even if you're not a parent, it's important to learn CPR. Water safety is everyone's responsibility.
Welcome back from that little commercial break. Although, I guess it really wasn't a commercial break because we tend to have mostly PSA, public service announcements, on our radio show, but that doesn't mean that we don't accept commercial material from businesses. We certainly do. If you're interested in advertising on our platforms, we have an all-inclusive marketing plan that we'll put spot ads on our radio programs, display ads on our websites, and social media And you'll also be part of our new streaming platform for all just one price. You can advertise quarterly, semi-annually, or annually. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I think you're going to be more than happy with the results. We've heard a lot of great things over the years about how we're really your target market. And so whether you have hardline goods, services, things that you want to sell, or maybe you're hiring and you need to recruit some good applicants, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Well, we all know the state of law enforcement across the country. We all know the difficulty in recent years that police departments are really having recruiting and maintaining their staffing levels. And there's not a week that does not go by that we don't see or hear of another agency sorely understaffed and having difficult times responding to the increased volume of calls. And see, that's what really makes that difficult for law enforcement, because while their staffing is below the minimum requirement many times, their call volumes continue to go up. And although they're not necessarily all emergencies, they're not all situations that require a police officer. That's what the public expects. The taxpayer wants to see the cop on the beat, just like back in the 50s and 60s. When I first started out in law enforcement, people wanted the cop on the beat. When they called, they wanted the cop to be there. And unfortunately, that's not the response that many areas have these days. Many nonviolent or non-active offenses, such as a vandalism or a theft, those are being handled over the phone. A report is being taken. No face-to-face interaction. A case number is given and the call is ended. In some communities, they've resorted to non-sworn community service officers, CSOs, and they go out and sometimes take a report. They direct traffic at non-injury and injury accidents. They sometimes help police at non-critical situations and incidents, and they do a good job. And that's how policing is being handled. Well, Alexandria, Virginia, a very large metropolitan area, has just come out with their plan of how they're going to stop responding to certain types of crimes. And other crimes will be handled by maybe, you know, a report online or a report maybe taken by a CSO. They don't know. Right now, there's about 160,000 people that live in the city of Alexandria, but the metropolitan D.C. area is huge. And the volume of people that come through their area has increased extremely over the years. Right now, the metropolitan D.C. population, and that includes parts of Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, is about 5.5 million people. And a lot of those people go up and down Interstate 95, and a lot of those people use the services of the city of Alexandria, Virginia. So let's take a listen and see what the police chief says is going to be the changes, I guess, for this city. But this is not the first time nor the last time that we've heard these type of speeches. Take a listen, and we'll be right back.
Saying don't call us. We're not saying we're not going to respond. What we're saying is it's a modification of services. We're going to decide, does an officer really need to be present?
Marcel Bassett, spokesperson for the Alexandria Police Department, says the agency is facing a decline in manpower. It means the public will have to get used to doing some things differently. There will be certain situations where law enforcement response will take place by phone or even online.
When we think about credit card fraud, while we understand that it's very enduring and you feel violated and we really empathize with that, we also understand that an officer being on scene doesn't change the information we'll receive about the case.
A 2021 study by the Police Executive Research Forum found the nearly 200 law enforcement agencies surveyed saw a 45% increase in their retirement rate over the year before. That is coupled with an 18% increase in resignations, and police chiefs across the U.S. report challenges in hiring recruits. The answer, for some, is to focus manpower on addressing violent crime and figure out a new way to handle the rest.
My first impression on that was that, like, stuff wouldn't get done as fast. If, like, you know, or at least people would feel that way, you know, if they're just told, yeah, like, oh, fill out a form, like, people would probably be upset that, like, their problem,
yeah,
isn't being, like, taken
value.
Seriously.
We expect to hear from Alexandria's mayor and other elected officials after the police chief's official announcement on Friday.
Hello, I'm Chief Don Hayes of the Alexandria Police Department. On behalf of the men and women of the Alexandria Police Department, we are proud to serve our residents, visitors, and businesses throughout the city every day. I'd like to provide an update on the modifications in our operations. We are making service adjustments to prioritize our workload to better serve the Alexandria community. Our goals include ensuring a sustainable work-life balance for officers while focusing our investigative and response efforts on more serious criminal incidents and concerns across the community. To achieve this, we are making modifications to allow for a more significant deployment of officers and resources to prevent crime and disorder throughout the city. We've identified areas for improvement that we will be addressing moving forward. This includes identifying non-emergency calls which may be served by a partner agency with the city, identifying non-emergency calls that do not require an in-person response, providing increased online support and phone reporting in partnership with our Department of Emergency and Customer Communications. While we make adjustments, please know we are committed to engaging and building partnerships with all communities in Alexandria, continuing to actively serve neighborhoods in the city of Alexandria to prevent and reduce crime, maintaining operational readiness and preparedness to respond to all public safety incidents. We will continue to monitor the modifications and evaluate our responses to these calls to ensure we are best serving the Alexandria community. Our top priority will always be your safety and the safety of every member of our community. Thank you.
Well, that certainly sounds to me like an opportunity for private security companies to step up and really not only provide services for their community and help businesses, but also help their own business by increasing revenue, getting new customers, and probably growing rapidly if you really invested that time in reaching out to the community and doing a certain level of marketing. Of course, as we know, the problem with that is the same problem that law enforcement has, and that is recruiting. We're just not able to get the staffing in-house to cover the jobs that we currently have, and that, my friend, is restricting many small and medium-sized security companies from growing right now because they don't have the staff. They can't get enough people through the door that's even remotely qualified, but it is an opportunity if you can figure out how to recruit. Now, I just read an article. As you know, if you listen to the program frequently, I read day in and day out constantly. It's something that I grew up with as a child, and I love to learn. I love to know what's happening elsewhere, outside of my own little world, outside of my own little community. So I do read a lot, but I just read an article
where a police department began going to the military and recruiting applicants, cadets, coming out of the military. They went to the Navy and to the Marines. Don't know why they slid by the Army, but that's where they went to recruit first, the Navy and the Marines. It was successful, and now other police agencies are looking at the same thing. I believe as business owners, we need to really think outside of the box in every aspect, but especially right now when we're out there trying to recruit and we are pulling from the same labor pool as general workers, Walmart, fast food, and other service industries, staffing companies, also thinking outside the box when it comes to recruiting. I've seen several news articles where staffing companies were hiring high school students part-time and having some type of special agreement with the school that they would give them credit hours, so that they would graduate early. Again, not really a new idea, because some high school work programs across the country train high schoolers to be firefighters and EMTs and guarantee that they will have a job waiting when they graduate high school. This is what we need to do. We need to get out in our community and figure out, who do we reach out to? How do we recruit people? It's really a tough situation, but there is a lot of opportunity there if you're willing to put in the work, just like with anything else in life. I am a strong advocate for security companies who only provide public safety type services, community security services, community service officers, patrol services, armed response, alarm response. You don't really need a whole lot of staffing because the static security isn't really there. You have to figure out right now, as the Alexandria police chief said, how best we can use our current resources, our current staffing, and what's going to get us through this situation. It won't be the same forever. Again, because I like to read, I just read where we added almost 400,000 jobs this past month across the country. But unfortunately, there's millions of jobs still open, still available. We need to think, we need to network, and we need to be part of our community. Remember, you can read our news 24 hours a day at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, fresh news from the source. We have almost 3,000 news sources coming into our office 24/7 from around the world. And we sometimes post different news from different countries as well, including a recent robbery in Cancun, an armored truck, but it was an inside job. The security guard did it, along with some of his buddies. But we do post news from around the world because we have members in multiple countries. You can also check out our Facebook 24/7, be part of the conversation, facebook.com/Private Officer International, and on Twitter 24/7. That's where you're going to see a whole lot of news happening, whole lot of information being put out, and a great opportunity to communicate live with our help desk 24/7. That's twitter.com/private officer. When I come back, we do need to look at the unfortunate death toll this past week, situations that occurred that probably could have been avoided. We want to talk also about a rape of a security officer and so much more coming up. Also on this show today, we're going to be talking about how weather kills security officers. Now, we mentioned this in previous radio shows over the years, but the fact is we're still not preparing ourselves for severe weather. Now, June 1st begins the official beginning of hurricane season, cyclones. We've already had a hurricane in the Pacific that hit Mexico, now moving toward Miami through the Gulf of Mexico. And every year, and it seems like it's getting worse, actually, we have security officers killed through weather-related deaths, job-related, on duty. And we want to talk about that today. But we do have other topics as well. And, of course, if you want to get involved, we need help with our virtual museum. Just spend a couple of hours a month, and you can help us with this project. If you'd like to be part of one of our committees, we have a committee for awards. We have a benevolent committee that really needs your help right now, where we reach out to help others who are injured or the families of those killed in the line of duty. And we have other great opportunities for you as we are preparing to launch our new streaming platform. We're looking for people who know how to put together videos, folks who are good with a camera. And we pay for all that. We're going to be going out and doing a lot of on-site shooting and recording the rest of the year. If you want to travel and get paid for it, and you have a little knowledge of video and production and audio and all that good stuff, contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We'll be right back.
Stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us.
To stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us. All of us.
To stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933.
They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933. Nationwide, there's an onslaught, literally, of frivolous lawsuits being filed at every corner of our country in recent months. These lawsuits allege that they were wrongfully assaulted by the police during the protests and riots that took place after the George Floyd death. And dozens and dozens and dozens of lawsuits allege that police fired rubber bullets, sprayed tear gas, injured their eye, their face, their body, someplace, top to bottom, somewhere. They don't know where, but I got hurt. And it's all because of the cops. And they had no right at all to do it. I was in the protest. I was in the crowd. But I wasn't breaking any law. I was peaceful, law-abiding. Proved that I was rioting. And without body camera or surveillance video footage of a business nearby or some other camera that was rolling, it might be difficult to prove that that person was involved in any crime in progress or any civil unrest, rioting, or other situation other than lawfully protesting. And once you have a couple of these lawsuits filed of any kind, and people see, oh, this is a moneymaker, oh, I wasn't even in the crowd, but guess what? I'll say that I was. I remember a case a number of years ago where there was a bus accident. And during the bus accident, a bunch of people jumped on board and claimed injuries. And they weren't even on the bus when the bus and the vehicle collided. But they jumped on and falsely reported that they were there and became part of the lawsuit. And that's what's happening here. You have people that probably was not even on scene during the violence. You have people that probably was no place in the vicinity, maybe not even in the city or the state at the time that this alleged assault by police occurred. But guess what? Easy money. We know that in recent years, many people have filed what would otherwise been called frivolous and unwarranted, and the case would have been thrown up. But they filed lawsuits because they knew that the minute the lawsuit was filed, or even an attorney sending a demand letter to the police department, to the city, that they were going to get some type of settlement, a quick quo pro. I'll give you $15,000, drop the lawsuit. Okay, you got it. I'll take that deal. And that's what many civil lawsuits have become. It's just a bargaining. It's like buying a property or a business or a home. You bargain the price down. And that's what it is. It's become a big game. Police departments and cities quickly settle, even when they know their officers done nothing wrong. But they'd rather settle because it's cheaper and it's out of the media quickly than to prolong a civil lawsuit, sometimes for several years. Besides the cost to the city for the attorneys and possibly private investigators and others involved, they would just rather settle. And many companies do that. You fall in a grocery store, they don't know if it was because there was something on the floor or not, but
you holler that you're going to sue, and they're going to settle. I've been part of those loss prevention incidents where we were involved in civil situations where people supposedly were injured, but we couldn't find it on the surveillance video. We couldn't find it on the footage, but yet they were injured. Whether proven or not, the stores would quickly settle, usually for $5,000 to $20,000, depending on the alleged injury. Well, now we have that with the police departments. Just in the recent week or two, we've seen, like I said, dozens of cases across the country. I think you're probably going to see more. We saw some right within a short amount of time after the riots were over. And yes, police departments and cities settled. Probably going to have a lot more.
You don't know what it's like until you're a parent. Letting go.
Because we used to protect her.
But now with the smart pepper spray from Saber, we can feel a little better knowing that if something happens, she can protect herself. Not only is it the number one pepper spray brand, it also has smart features to connect us instantly when it matters most. The smart pepper spray connects via Bluetooth to the free Saber Personal Safety app. With her selected contacts loaded into the app, we receive an alert if and when the pepper spray is deployed. Even better, the alert links to a map where we can geotrack her exact location to make sure she gets to safety. We also opted into the Saber Premium Monitoring Service to make sure that if needed, local police will be alerted and given the ability to track and help her. That's all built on top of Saber's maximum strength formula for maximum stopping power, with a 10-foot range and 25 bursts per canister.
So, if she's ever in a dangerous situation,
we'll know.
Is everything okay?
I'm fine. I just got scared, but I'm fine.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because when you're a dad,
when you're a mom,
knowing that your daughter, your loved ones are safe,
that's
everything.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and I got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
This is News for Nashville.
Awful. Something I never want to do with again.
A security guard shot and killed last night while on duty is being mourned tonight. Scott Meek was shot and killed during a scuffle outside of Frugal McDougal Liquor Store. Now, that incident spilling into the store where a shootout with police took place. But the suspect, Randy Charles Levi, who was shot by police, is now facing charges. Tonight, we are hearing from the family for the very first time of Scott Meek. News 4's Courtney Allen met his family there today, who say that they are heartbroken.
This store was closed all day, but people still came out. Some of them, Scott Meek's family, laying down flowers at the entrance in his remembrance.
Madison Howard cannot hold back her tears.
It was like somebody you want to call, you want to talk to so bad, and they're just not going to answer.
Howard is the stepdaughter of Scott Meek, who was the security guard shot and killed at Frugal McDougal's liquor store Thursday night by a suspected shoplifter.
You don't expect it to be someone you know. You don't expect, you hear about this on the news all the time, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's terrible. We'll pray for those families, but you never expect it to be somebody that's so close to you, that you spent so much time with. And have to explain this to your kids that Papa I is not going to be there in their lives anymore.
Howard and a couple of Meek's close friends came to the liquor store in the Gulch Friday to lay flowers and weep. We talked to Meek's daughter, Abigail Corlew, by phone Friday. She was driving out of town for the weekend on a trip she said her dad should have been on.
His girlfriend had just received a phone call from him maybe 30 minutes before it happened that he was getting ready to leave and come home.
Corlew says her dad was her best friend and dedicated his life to protecting others.
I do not want him to be known as the man who was the security guard who was fatally wounded in Nashville at a liquor store. I want him to be remembered as the man he was and everything he did for so many other people.
Howard says it's gut-wrenching.
It sucks that it happens to the best people, and there's people that walk freely every single day that are awful people, do awful things in this world, and the best people are the ones that get taken so soon. It's just not fair.
Meek was a trained security guard with decades of experience. His daughter said he'd been working a lot lately and was mentally and physically tired. In Nashville, Courtney Allen, News 4 Nashville. Investigators are looking into a deadly shooting at Miami Valley Hospital. New at 11, we've learned who died. The Montgomery County Sheriff said an inmate we now know was Brian Booth was getting treatment and got a hold of a security guard's gun and shot and killed him, then turned the gun on himself. We've also learned the security guard was Daryl Holderman. The sheriff said there was nothing in Booth's past that could have indicated something like this would happen. News Center 7's Brandon Lewis is live outside of Miami Valley Hospital. Brandon, the sheriff's office has already checked to see if there were concerning signs from Booth.
Yeah, Molly, the sheriff has already said there was no indication that something like this would happen here today.
Senseless and disturbing are the words that come to the mind of Montgomery County Sheriff Rob Streck when he thinks about what happened at Miami Valley Hospital Wednesday morning.
While the inmate was being treated at the hospital, he apparently overpowered the security officer from Emergent Security Services, took the security officer's pistol, and shot the security officer before fleeing and then turning the gun on himself.
Both the inmate and the security officer died. Sheriff Rob Streck says the inmate went to Miami Valley Hospital because he was going through some sort of detox from alcohol or drugs.
This individual who left the jail last night showed no signs of any type of issues that were suspected by jail staff.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness says 46% of people who die by suicide have a known mental health condition. But Sheriff Streck says this inmate had a full screening and there was no indication he had any mental health concerns.
We have the ability to also look into individuals' past who are incarcerated, and there is nothing in the records that we have access to that said he was ever dealt with for a mental health issue.
Now, I reached out to Merchant Security tonight for a comment. The company declined. The sheriff says no one else was hurt in today's shooting.
Today, at least six different families and their extended loved ones are grieving as six more security officers have been gunned down and murdered. Families in Nashville, Tennessee, Brooklyn, New York, Columbus, Ohio, Louisville, Kentucky, and in Florida, all are grieving today because their loved ones are not coming back home. Today or ever. As of right now, this moment, 73 security officers have died in 2022. And almost all of them, the greater majority, have died by gunfire at the hand of others. And we're talking about on duty security personnel and private police officers. And yet, we still face
the same battles that we have forever. Security officer in Nashville, who had been in the security profession for a number of years, gunned down at a large retail liquor store. Police getting into a gun battle with the shooter who had disarmed the security officer, killing him in a gun battle. A security officer in Florida killed just overnight at an apartment complex. We don't have a lot of details. A security officer in Brooklyn, New York, gunned down. An employee of TSA for more than 20 years, a supervisor. Police say it was a hit, an ambush. They know that he was very strict at work, and he worked in a bomb detail, stopping bombs, but they also oftentimes would be involved in other cases. A security officer in New Jersey shot to death in a drive-by shooting. These are families today who are lost. They don't know what to do. They don't know what their life will be like now, as the audio that was just played, a family of a loved one in Nashville, Tennessee, just never thought this day would ever happen. And every year, more than 120, 30, 50 times, families just like this across the country get the same phone calls, the same visits, and have to confront the realization that their loved ones are gone. It is outrageous that these things continue to happen at the pace that they're happening, and no one is paying attention. My heart goes out to these families, my prayers and condolences. But as one person put it during the Uvalde, Texas school shooting, prayers and condolences just won't get it anymore. We need to take action. We need to take action. We have a lot of other news, a lot of other breaking news that we need to talk about. I'm extremely upset over a rape that occurred at an airport in Albuquerque, New Mexico. How could this have happened? A rape of a TSA security officer. How could this go on? How could it have possibly transpired at all? Police officer has been arrested in the case. It's just unimaginable that this would have happened at all. Never mind to a TSA officer, with the suspect being a cop. Johnny Garcia, an Albuquerque police officer assigned to the aviation unit, has been taken into custody and charged with rape and kidnapping. This happened at the airport. He began talking to the TSA officer and eventually pushed her into a closet where he raped her and then left and went back on duty, like nothing had happened. The Albuquerque Police Department says that they investigated the complaint soon afterwards and was able to make an immediate arrest. The officer was on duty. He was in uniform. It was a situation that was not wanted by the TSA. security officer, and yet it happened. Like I said, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. Also coming out of Berkeley, California, the community there is up in rage right now because a 16-year-old boy who planted a mass shooting and bombing at the Berkeley High School wasn't arrested for 9 days after police were notified by several people of the plan that he was trying to recruit other students in this mass shooting and bombing. Police received several tips. Now, police did begin an investigation. They went to his house. They were able to find certain components of a bomb and parts of a rifle. They found other evidence that this was really a true plot to shoot up the school and bomb it. But yet the police did not make an arrest for 9 days. And they are defending themselves. They said, we didn't have enough probable cause to make that arrest. And they even gave an outline, a timeline of what they did. They got a tip. The next day they went to his house and they searched it with the permission of the parents. They found parts of a rifle and maybe even something that could be used as an explosive. On the third day, the youth services unit took over the investigation. By the sixth day, they got an arrest warrant. They went to serve it, but the student wasn't home. The seventh and eighth and ninth day, nothing was done. And all of a sudden, on the ninth day, the student himself turned himself in, came walking into the Berkeley Police Department. And that's when he was finally arrested. Now the community is outraged, and rightfully so, after these shootings just in the last few weeks. I would think that when you go to the suspect's home and you discover parts of a rifle and possible bomb-making parts, that that's probable cause, and they should have taken him into custody. Coming out of Los Angeles, Encino, which is part of L.A. Metro, three hospital workers were stabbed and are currently fighting for their life. This happened at the Encino Hospital Medical Center on Ventura Boulevard. Police said that a man armed with a knife walked in and began stabbing the employees of the hospital. Police said they don't have a motive behind the stabbing. Now, here's another story that really upsets me. A former Air Force sergeant, of all people, convicted of killing David Patrick Underwood. He was a contract security officer for the federal government, for the Federal Protective Service. And on May 29, 2020, during the riots of the George Floyd protests, he was shot to death while standing outside of a federal courthouse by this ex-Air Force sergeant who was still in the Air Force at the time of the murder. Well, after all the trial and all the back and forth with the DA and his attorney, they worked out a deal. Rather than the death penalty, he got 41 years in federal prison. 41 years for a murder? Authorities say that he faces another trial, a murder of a police officer and the wounding of other law enforcement officials on his rampage, and therefore he will get more prison time if found guilty. That's the reasoning. That's why they only gave him 41 years instead of life. Life today, the life of a person especially one in uniform, is not very valuable these days. Coming out of Scottsdale, Arizona, I don't know if this is science fiction or if this is just wishful thinking, but Axon, the maker of Taser, announced this past week that they are developing a drone that will be armed with electric stunning weapons, aka taser-like weapons, that will fly over schools to prevent school shootings. I don't think maybe they've thought this out clearly, because obviously a taser can't overcome a bullet. So if you've got somebody on the ground with an AR-15 and 30-round clip or 50-round clip, that drone won't be in there for very long. Others in the field of protection and technology and policing say Axon is just really wishful thinking. They don't believe, they say it's a fantasy, and a dangerous fantasy at that. They don't believe that anything will come out of this. And in Muskegon, Michigan, a security guard there working for the Muskegon Heights Public Schools has been charged with sexually abusing a minor and is currently in jail. The suspect, Zoltan Vines, 31, was arraigned this past Friday on criminal sexual conduct with a child between the age of 13 and 16. He was also a coach on one of the school's teams. If you want to see all of our breaking news, go to our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com 24/7. Always there. And join us on our social media platforms. We have a number of them, but primarily use facebook.com/privateofficerinternational and always 24/7 on twitter.com/privateofficer. We're going to be talking about the weather and how the weather has frequently been harmful to security officers. June 1st was the beginning of the new hurricane season, and every year, although not really highlighted in any media reel anyplace, every year it seems that a security officer is killed in a weather-related on-duty incident. So I want to point a few things out and talk a few minutes about the weather and how we can avoid becoming a victim of a weather-related death. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we're coming right back.
Who knows what a child will grow up to be? It's one of the coolest things about kids. The unknown. The potential. The chance to do or become whatever they can imagine. But what if something happens during childhood that stops them from reaching that potential? Did you know that preventable injuries are the number one killer of children in the United States? And around the world, one child dies from a preventable injury every 30 seconds. But the important thing to remember about preventable injuries is that they're preventable. We can do something to stop them. Things to make sure kids get the chance to be creative and play. The chance to take chances and explore. The chance to fall down and get back up. Help us give your kid, and every kid, the chance to grow up, reach their potential, and become whatever they can imagine. Learn how at safekids.org.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water is like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jacket.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
Every year, it seems like we have to talk about the severity of the weather and the unfortunate fact that weather does injure, does kill, it does affect how we do our job and how we need to be preparing for safety. Every year, we see security officers who suffer weather-related injuries and, in some cases, death. It is unnecessary tragedy. It does not have to occur, and yet we see it all the time. June 1st was the beginning of the Atlantic hurricane season. Now, we've already had a hurricane in the Pacific that crossed into Mexico. A number of people there dead and injured. The storm then crossed over into the warmer area of the Gulf between Mexico and Florida and again came ashore with some heavy rains and some damage. We know that as climate change continues to happen, we're seeing more severe weather earlier in the season and lasting longer into the season. As a resident, lifelong resident along the Atlantic Ocean and for more than 30 years along the Gulf Coast, I have seen the severity of the storms continue to increase almost yearly, the amount of damage done increasing, the amount of injuries and deaths increasing, and like so many other areas of private security and public safety, we just don't take it seriously. We don't prepare for it. We don't train for it. We don't acknowledge it, even though OSHA and NOAA, the National Oceanic Administration, announces every year the elevation of the dangers. In 2020 alone, weather-related emergencies killed more than 400 people in the U.S., including security officers. Security officers, we already know, along with any public safety personnel, frontline worker, faced many dangers on duty and unfortunately are frequently injured or killed. And oftentimes, there's nothing that can be done about it. The dangers and the work conditions that security and frontline employees work in is inevitable. And unfortunately, we just have to come to the grip that,
Yes, we could be injured or killed, but there are times that we can prevent that from happening. And the weather is one of those times. Every season of tornadoes and hurricanes, we see security officers injured. Worldwide, businesses constantly face security threats. We know that. All sorts of threats. Workplace violence. We've just had the COVID pandemic. Many of our security professionals have to confront the ever-increasing assaults on them. But this is one area that we can prepare and prevent things from happening. So why don't we? Why don't we take things seriously? Why don't we gear up and prepare when we know that we live in a tornado-prone area? Well, I live on the Pacific Coast up in the hills of California, Oregon, and Washington. We never get tornadoes. Oh, really? How about mudslides, landslides, floods, wildfires? There's always going to be some form of weather-related situation that's going to put your life and the life of many others in jeopardy. Why not begin preparing ahead of time? As a public safety professional all of my life, since I was 17, I have seen countless numbers of natural and man-made disasters where people just didn't make it out because they weren't prepared. They had no emergency plan. It is just like we teach in fire safety, always have an exit strategy, an exit plan to get out of your home in case of a fire. If you live on the second floor, how would you escape that one door? The only door to your apartment is blocked. How would you get out? We need to plan in the business that we're in. Now, I took a look, and since I've been on this radio program, the Private Officer Beat, and other programs, I have talked about weather-related emergencies and preparation almost every single year. If it's not the tornadoes and the hurricanes, it's the heat. If it's not the heat, it's the freezing weather. I've had people on the show who work in these rough conditions, the sub-freezing weather, for 5-6 months a year. And they talked about surviving, being able to do your job and not get injured, not fall victim. In 2014, a security officer walking home fell into a snow pile and froze to death. He had a medical emergency of some type, whether he was hypothermic. I don't know. I didn't read the autopsy. I didn't read the death report, but he died. A security officer a number of years ago in New York City, where the subways were flooding during a hurricane, tropical storm, he drowned. A security officer in Mobile, Alabama, a number of years ago, went out. He was working along the port. He went out to make sure a boat was secure because it was knocking up against a pylon, and he was blown off the pier into the Mobile River, and he drowned. Last year, during a tornado, a security officer in Tennessee died after the building collapsed. Another security officer in another state, the same thing happened to him. An elderly security officer was trapped in the debris after a building collapsed.
and he died. Security officers, police officers, and those working in the front line, on the front line, in emergency services, often fall victim to many weather-related situations, including the heat. How do we prepare for this? How do we stop this from happening? It's bad enough when frontline employees become victims at the hand of others, but when you become victims at your own hands because you fail to train, fail to prepare, that's unnecessary. That's preventable. It doesn't matter what part of this country that you live in, the middle of the country, the Atlantic coast, the Pacific coast, the Gulf of Mexico. I'm telling you, weather is changing. Weather patterns is changing. Weather volatile situations are becoming more extreme. If you are working in an area in the South that is prone to temperatures in the high 90s or even in the hundreds, it wasn't more than a year or two ago, maybe 18 months. It wasn't very long ago. It was a security officer who was overcome by heat exhaustion and didn't realize it. I myself have been out working and not realized that my body, my core temperature had overheated to the point where not only was I dizzy and I didn't know where I was. It can come upon you quick. Heat exhaustion can kill you. We need to be better trained and better prepared. If you live in an area where you know it's very humid and hot in the summer, springtime, even early fall, and you're working outside, of course, you got to take rest. Breaks under the shade tree, inside where it's cool, drink a lot of fluids. We all know that, but we don't do it. We need to wear the proper clothing. Dark clothing attracts heat and retains heat. Black and dark blue, navy blue uniforms are actually not good. If you're in one of those environments where it's very sticky and humid and hot for 5 or 6 months out of the year, that's why many police departments in Florida and the Carolinas and other southern southeastern states wear beige or khaki or light blue or white so that it doesn't retain that heat. It is important wherever you live that you know what the conditions are going to be. There's no reason to be caught in a storm these days. Everybody has a cell phone, and you can get weather alerts just like I do and many thousands of others do on your phone. You can be weather aware no matter where you are. If you are residing in a tornado-prone, a hurricane-prone area, it's your job to stay on top of the weather, not while it's happening, but before, days before. During this last Pacific hurricane, we tracked it from the beginning stages across the Pacific, across Mexico. We wanted to know, was it going to affect our area, our community, the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida, the panhandle of Florida. We wanted to know because we have assets there. We have people there. We have businesses there. You need to take training. If you don't know what to look for, there's training that you can take online for free. You can take a CERT, C-E-R-T course free from FEMA. There are all sorts of training courses available that are weather-related, preparing for weather, emergencies, natural and man-made disasters. We need to be prepared. We need to do this better. Just moments ago, I discussed the fact
that six security officers died in 1 week from being murdered. Maybe they could have been prevented, maybe not. But this is something that definitely can be prevented. You don't have to be injured, hurt, killed in a weather-related incident. Be prepared. Be prepared. In closing, I just want to remind you about the free active shooter program that Armor College and Private Officer International is sponsoring. June is Active Shooter Awareness and Response Month. We have dedicated this whole month in training as many people as we can for free. We're offering a four-part online program. Each week is packed full of information, videos, tools, things that could save your life and the life of others. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. If you haven't already received the email, I know that it will be sent out one more time sometime today. If you're on the email list, you're going to get it. If you're just listening to the program, go to privateofficer.org and the box will drop down. You can sign up for our breaking news and our news alerts, training opportunities, and officer down reports. You can also become a lifetime member of the organization just for $99. At the very top of the front landing page, there's a little button that's flashing that says specials. Click on there, and you can sign up and save $80 right now. That is going to do it for today's program. We've had a lot of things to talk about, and there were a lot of other things to talk about that I've left off the program because we're running out of time. But if you want to get involved with Private Officer International, just contact us, helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.